And a good Monday afternoon to you. Welcome to Lunch with Klabes and Joe, powered by Gray Bar, driven by Munganass St. Louis Acura. I am Joe Roderick, joined alongside by Mike Claiborne. And if you are watching us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all kinds of options for you there, you can see that Mike Claiborne is not with the Cardinals up in Detroit. He is home for this series, but will be back on the broadcast with them starting this weekend as they host the Chicago White Sox. Klabes, as much as traveling, I mean, going from Florida to the West Coast, back home to the West. I mean, it is that the schedule makers did not make things easy on the Cardinals in the month of April.
No, they didn't. And I'm of the belief if you can survive this month of April, your schedule, I won't say gets easier, but it becomes a little bit more manageable. And, you know, so far so good with the Cardinals as we speak. They were knocking on the door at 500. And I thought if they were somewhere around 500 in the month of April, then I thought that they could really make some hay here. And it looks like they're going to be in that vicinity, although Detroit's a better team than maybe some people will give them credit for. But, you know, we'll see. It's been a challenging month. You go to the West Coast twice.
Right.
In 2 weeks. And then you go to the East Coast. And now you're in the Midwest. It's not the typical schedule we've been accustomed to seeing.
And then to top it off, I mean, they were one out away from sweeping the Mets in New York and heading up to Detroit on a four-game win streak. The pitching was there. The offense was not kind of the story here in the early going of the 2024 season.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. We've seen some good pitching. And I thought even yesterday on the home run, he said he was looking for a 97 mile an hour four seamer up in the zone. Come on, man. Come on. You know, because Liberatore, I thought he pitched well. I mean, you know, and he gave you what you had a chance to do. You just don't score enough runs. And bottom line is you can't win every night 2-1.
Right.
Okay. You're going to have to score some runs. And, you know, you've got some holes in your lineup right now. You know, Cardinals have had no real productivity from the center field position this year. And that's got to change. You know, we don't have any real productivity from the corner outfielders. So you got to find a way to turn this around. And I'm not sure how that works. You know, I know it's easy to say, well, fire the hitting coach. What are you firing him for? I mean, here's the thing. Turner Ward and Brandon Allen have been around for a long time. They've had great success in the big leagues coaching hitters. You know, maybe some guys are pressing. I don't know. I mean, you know, every team goes through it. It just happens that the Cardinals are going through it now. But then when you look back, Joe, on the on spring training, they weren't hitting in spring training.
Right.
Goldschmidt and Arenado had one home run in spring training.
At one point, the only team in all of baseball in spring training that didn't have a home run. And at the time, you know, people wanted to blame it on Roger Dean and say, maybe it's the stadium they're playing in. They've played in quite a few stadiums already this year, and they're still not hitting home runs out of those either. So,
yeah, it's a head scratcher. But we'll see. I mean, Citi Field's not an easy place to hit home runs, although we saw one yesterday. But, you know, it's April. It's April 29th. So let's see what happens as we get into warmer weather, a little bit more consistency.
One another bright spot from this weekend, though, Sonny Gray continues to be just as good as advertised. Goes 6 innings in the game against the Mets, 1 earned run, and actually raises his ERA to 1.16 on the season. You know, coming up on, I'd have to look at what else is going on in the National League. I would imagine the guy out of the Cubs would get it, but come Wednesday when we get those Player of the Month awards, I mean, Sonny Gray has got to be in contention right now for pitcher of the month for the month of April. If not for, is it Agama out of Chicago with the Cubs, what he's done this season.
I think that the only way he doesn't get it is somebody wants to say, well, you know, he didn't start the season.
Yeah. Oh, but, you're talking about Sonny Gray. You think Sonny Gray over Agama?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen enough of Agama. Okay. I readily admit that, but I'll ask you this question. Who have you seen in a Cardinal uniform as a pitcher that has been this efficient, this dominant, whether it's swing and miss, whether it's getting the ground ball, whether it's keeping the ball in the ballpark? Can you name the last pitcher you've seen that wore a Cardinal uniform that was this efficient?
Chris Carpenter. But Chris Carpenter, when he was Cy Young,
I disagree.
Okay. Then outside of that, then, I mean, there's no, since I started watching the Cardinals in 1997, when I was 12 years old, that would be that, then there's nobody there. There's nobody else.
That's what I would say. Going back to your time, I've been scratching my head on this one for the last couple of days. Just his preparation, just how he approaches, how he's able to dial up a double play when he needs it, how he can get the strikeout, how he's efficient with his pitch count. He just checks a lot of boxes, man, that we just don't see and we haven't seen in a Cardinal uniform. And if you want to use Chris Carpenter, I would disagree. I don't know if I think they're in the same ballpark, but maybe sitting in a different section with regard to being this efficient. But overall, I just think the Sonny Gray's been something we've never seen before in St. Louis in the last 40 years.
Yeah. Chris Carpenter, his 2005 season, Klaibs, a 2.83 ERA, 21 wins, 7 complete games that year. That's one I completely forgot about, the amount of complete games that Chris Carpenter threw back in the early 2000s.
Well, they don't let guys throw throw complete games anymore. Now, if you said to Sonny, hey, look, we're going to prepare for you to go 9, and Sonny would say, okay, I'll try and see if I can get 10 if we need them. It's just the game has changed from that mindset as far as complete games. But we just haven't seen anything like this. And we better start paying attention because he's must-watch pitching for me. When it's his day to pitch, and I think I have him Friday, and I can't wait. I'm just looking forward to it because everything is done with a purpose. You there?
Klaibs, as I'm looking through here, Shoto Igama right now has a .98 ERA, 4 wins on the season, has pitched well. I mean, 4 innings against the Dodgers, only allowing 2 hits against them. And then this past weekend, actually raised his ERA from 0.84 to 0.98 when he allowed 1 earned run over 6 1/3 for the Cubs against the Red Sox. So that's one on that side. And if we're talking pitchers of the month, the Cardinals are getting lucky this week because they do not have to face Tarek Skubal of the Detroit Tigers. He pitched yesterday for them. And Klaibs, I don't know, in doing your research on this Tigers team, if you took a look at anything that this guy has done so far this year, but he's also 4-0 on the year with a 1.72 ERA and 36 innings pitched, 41 strikeouts in those 36 innings. Another one of those Tiger draft picks that they have just been kind of waiting, or one of those Tiger, prospects, they've just been waiting over the years to come up and be productive.
Yeah. You know, when you look at him and you make a great point about the Tigers and their development, when you've been as bad as they've been over the last 15 years, it's about time you have some players that come through. And the mistake that they've made is they spend all that money on Baez, who's been a major disappointment. But, you know, they're still missing something. But Skubal is a pretty good young pitcher. But when I see these young guys now, I'm just trying to figure out what day on the calendar do I circle where he's going to have Tommy John. And that's unfortunate that we see it in this manner because everybody's max effort these days. And you can't be that and expect to be a successful pitcher for a long period of time.
Yeah, who was it that we saw leave this past week? I thought we saw another guy that had to leave a game earlier, had to leave a game because of another possible Tommy John surgery.
I don't know.
There's one every week now.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, you're almost oblivious to it at this point where it's just so common that we see it. And I don't know what you're going to do about it because – I know that there's been some discussion, and we had John Mozeliak on the postgame show last Friday, and he made an interesting observation that he thinks that they're going to reduce the roster with regard to pitchers to 10. He thought maybe somewhere in that vicinity. I think most people thought maybe they drop it by 1. Can you imagine if they dropped it to 10, what this game would look like?
I mean, it would be just constant, just over and over again. I mean, you'd be sending guys back at AAA, back and forth, back and forth.
You would have to do that. But I think that what I'm also saying, though, it's going to change the philosophy of pitching where everybody's not going to be throwing 98 miles an hour, you know, every fifth day, because you won't be able to hold up and your bullpen won't be able to hold up.
No. And you look, and I think there has been a recent surge of wanting to blame the pitch clock for the uptick.
Well, that's bullshit.
That's what I'm saying. They're wanting to blame it on that.
That's not even close to the problem.
And no, it's not. It's you have guys constantly throwing 102 miles an hour, pitch after pitch after pitch. That takes a lot out of your arm when you are going that max effort and going that hard that many times in a game. The human body, something's going to snap or tear or something.
Yeah, and I'm not buying it. And you know what? I'm seeing some pitchers who have already figured out how to counter the clock, and there's little things that they're doing to buy themselves 4, 5, 6 seconds more, you know. So they figured out a way to do it. At least the good pitchers have, and eventually some other ones will figure it out. But they got to quit blaming something else. How about blaming people who think that this is fascinating? Because the ones who subscribe to max effort pitching aren't doing it. They're not pitching. They're managers, they're coaches, they're general managers, scouting directors. Those are the people who are shaping the game right now. And now it's trickled down to the college level where, you know, they don't even look at you if you're not throwing 98 plus, little league levels, high school levels. You coach kids. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where the trickle-down effect has got to change in order to preserve this game. Now, the other thing that'll come into play here is the Players Association will be like, well, wait a minute. You know, we're not giving away jobs here. So I think you probably counter with saying, you know, maybe with expansion, maybe you massage the roster in another area. But I think they're going to have to really recreate the game in that manner here in the next year or two. I don't think this thing is going to wait much longer.
Tigers and Cardinals series begins tonight. It'll be Steven Matz against Kente Maeda tonight for the Tigers. Tigers come in 16-12 on the season. We talked about it just a few seconds ago. They finally are starting to figure it out, finally starting to put together a winning ball club. You wonder where they would have been. You know, last year, Miguel Cabrera kind of hung on one extra season to play for them. Did that hold them back? Did that help any of these young guys? That's one of those. I wonder if that's a question they thought about.
Well, I'll make this comparison. Had the Cardinals been in contention, do you think Adam Wainwright would have had as many starts to try and get to 200?
No.
Same thing, I think, with Cabrera. If the Tigers were in contention, Cabrera wouldn't have played as much as he did.
Right.
So I think in that situation, and it wasn't like they had this budding, can't-miss superstar waiting to take his place. They have got a lot of good young prospects, but I don't think any of them were knocking down a door to make sure Cabrera couldn't play. Same thing with the Cardinals. They didn't have anybody to replace Wainwright. We went out and signed three other guys who almost were as old as he is.
Yeah.
So in those situations, I don't think it really has an impact.
Cardinal bullpen this past weekend and really for the whole season has been a huge source of enjoyment to watch this year. We talked about the loss yesterday. You can't put that on Libitor. Libitor comes out there, throws three innings in relief, and they can't get a run for him to end the game in nine innings. Jose Quintana also, by the way, yesterday was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, he was really good.
With what he went out there and did. But Ryan Helsley so far this year has been better than we've seen him, I think, since he was an all-star in, 21, 22, when he made the all-star game that year. He's been he has been really, really good and fun to watch, getting out there and just going to work and getting outs in about 12 pitches.
You know, The bullpen has pitched well. I'll tell you who they remind me of. You remember that San Diego Padre team about 4 years ago that got off to that really good start and their bullpen was lights out? And come June, they didn't have a guy who could throw his underwear in the hamper. They burn up that bullpen so quick You know, I think Ollie Marmol has kind of paid attention to that. And that's one of the things I said to you earlier in the year. This is going to be an 18-man pitching staff where you better have some guys you can cycle in and cycle out. And we've kind of started to see that already where you sent Palante and Zach Thompson out. Here comes John King and who else did they bring up? Fernandez has really been a nice addition. And you have Middleton and O'Brien who aren't that far away. The bullpen is only going to get better. So it's one of those things that you better manage their workload where you can't have Kittredge going 3 out of 4 nights again. You know, you got to give him a break somewhere in between. And I think the same thing has to be said by Helsley. So where do you get the support from? I mean, you mentioned Libertor was really good yesterday. Where does Gio Gallegos fit in all of this? You know, and you got some other guys that are kind of on that fence that you have to figure out what will be their role. And will they be like the second team? I don't want to call them a B team, but when those other guys are down, you've got to have 3 guys that can come in and do the job.
Yeah. Yeah. And once O'Brien and Middleton come back in, I think you're going to see a lot more of that Memphis shuttle used, because right now you don't have the extra arms down in Memphis right now. You saw the moves that they made last week when they sent Thompson and Palante down. They don't have all hands on deck at the moment. And once we do get to that point, then I think you start seeing a lot of maneuvering and a lot of shuffling around to make that work out and get you as many fresh arms as you can up at the up with the Cardinals.
And you know, I think sometimes, excuse me, scheduling might have something to do with it. You know, you might be looking for matchups in your pen that you may have in games against teams that are, you know, that you want to have certain guys face certain hitters when it's late. I mean, the game has come down to that element. You have so much information available to you. And granted, some of these things you can't decide. You can't really have a fingerprint on. But the things you do, you want to have things lined up like the moon and the stars if you want to have a chance to win. And I think you're going to see those opportunities take place as well.
Klabes, you mentioned Middleton and O'Brien being close. Any update on Tommy Edman and Dylan Carlson?
Well, Dylan Carlson might be back by next week. He's going to go out. I think he goes out on assignment tomorrow. They want him to get enough at bats and just get himself acclimated or reacclimated to the game. But we may see him next week. Tommy Edman, who knows? You know, let's face it, the Tommy Edman situation has been unfortunate because nobody even knew the guy had wrist surgery until the winter meetings. Okay. I'm sorry, until the Cardinal winter warm-up. And we thought, well, it must be minor surgery. Well, he's going to miss 2 months.
Yeah.
2 months of the season. I mean, he's gradually coming back, but I don't think he's seen live BP yet. And we know he hasn't been out on assignment. So we don't know when this is going to take place. And the question is, what are you getting when he does come back? So it's a real head scratcher. It's unfortunate for sure. But I'm not sure if Tommy Edman, he's obviously going to be better offensively than Michael Ciani. Okay. I think just about anybody's going to be better than that. But we still don't know what kind of offensive player he's going to be.
Right.
Defensively, he's going to be solid. But we have to wait and see. And again, that's not going to happen for the foreseeable future.
One more baseball note here. This past weekend, the Astros, Klabes, they have now fallen their record on the season. They're basically the Cardinals, it feels like, of 2024 with how disappointed this has been so far. What are they, 7-21 now on the year?
Hasn't gone well.
Was Dusty Baker just that damn good of a manager that he had them? I mean, is that because that's the biggest thing that's missing, right? Outside of a lot of injuries on the pitching staff,
you got Verlander who's coming back. You know, you had a guy throw a no hitter in your rotation already this year. So, Dusty had a lot to do with it. You starting to hear the whispers that maybe Joe Espada was not the guy. And I think it's a little early for that. This is his first job and, you know, it's not going well initially, but to cut bait with this guy now, I just don't think would be fair. You know, they have some good players, and just like the Cardinals have gotten off to a better start than they did last year, those things happen. And so I think it's going to take some time, but yeah, the whisper campaign is starting to circulate. And I always ask people, just like when people want to fire Ollie, I'm like, okay, well, who would you like to hire? What good manager is sitting at home right now with big league experience that you want to hire? I'm open for suggestions.
Right. You know, and so, the first name that you'll get from a lot of those people is going to be Yachty.
Wait a minute.
Hasn't come Yachty, around.
Well, how are you going to hire a guy that didn't even show up for spring training?
That's yes.
He doesn't even know who the players are.
Right.
So, you know, let's put this Yachty thing to bed along with this. Cardinals have hired three guys who've never managed in the big leagues before. All right. How about if we find somebody who's had a little bit more ring experience? If you're going to make a change, I personally don't think you are. I personally don't think you should. But I think at this point, we got to get this Yachty thing. Let's put this in the back seat, because it's not going to happen anytime in the foreseeable future. If he couldn't even show up for spring training when he said he would, and we have not seen him during the season, he hasn't been to any of the minor league operations. So why does someone think Yachty's the man?
You mentioned whisper campaigns for the guy down in Houston. Who else would be on the hot seat right now in Major League Baseball? Worst record in baseball after this weekend belongs to the Miami Marlins, where Skip Schumacher was just up for Manager of the Year last year.
Well,
Manager of the Year last year?
He did.
Yeah, okay.
And you know what? I think they would be doing him a favor if they let him go.
Yeah.
It's not the same organization. It's not the same roster. The injuries have had a significant impact. And quite frankly, this Miami regime, as we know it, really doesn't know what they're doing. I mean, they've gone in a completely opposite direction of what we saw last year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then they took away the option year for Skip. So, you know, if they fired him tomorrow, he'd be all right. I think he'd be a happy man. Now, obviously, nobody wants to get fired. But when you are working with such a short deck, and you think about that clubhouse, there's no leadership in that clubhouse, not enough real veterans. That's kind of a mess. But I think maybe the team that might be in worse trouble than the Marlins is the Chicago White Sox. Now, I know they played well this weekend against Tampa, but they already say that's a comedy show. So I don't think either one of those guys is going to get fired in the foreseeable future. But you know, it's not going well. Let's just put it that way.
White Sox coming to town this weekend. Claves, you see who's batting second for them now?
Ah, Tommy Pham.
Yeah.
Tommy Pham swinging the bat. You know, he's playing center field too, by the way.
Yeah.
And so one of those things, here's what's going to happen in Chicago. He's going to make some people accountable, starting with the manager all the way down to the 26th guy. He's going to put some numbers up if they pitch to him. And that's the thing you got to remember. If Robert doesn't come back anytime soon, then why pitch to Tommy Pham? He's the only experienced guy in the lineup that can hurt you. So you have that to deal with. And they're going to have to make some people accountable about how they put this roster and this organization together, along with the fact that Pham will play well enough to get traded to a better team. And, you know, that'll work out well for him.
Man, you got Darren Jackson coming in this weekend, Tommy Pham coming in this weekend. That's a lot of dinners on your tab coming in.
That has already been discussed. I'm just going to put it this way. This is going to be a very busy weekend. Plus, Rammer's getting that award on Sunday night at the MAC with the high school athletes, and he's getting an award. So it's going to be a short rest weekend for me.
Well, let's take a break right now. Only about 30 seconds here on Lunch with Claves and Joe. We are powered by Gray Bar, driven by Munganass St. Louis Acura here on Claves Online.
Let me get this straight. Gray Bar is a distributor?
Yep. For more than 150 years, we supported electrical and datacom projects all over the country.
So you can get me products wherever and whenever I need them?
Yep. Thanks to our expansive national logistics network.
For any industry?
Yep. From construction sites and industrial plants to schools, hospitals, and just about everything in between.
So you could say Gray Bar is much more than a distributor.
Yep, you could say that.
They really do it all.
Yep. When you need a hand powering, connecting, or maintaining your operations, Join the thousands of professionals who rely on Graybar to help keep them up and running. Yep, Graybar does that.
Back here, it's Lunch with Claves and Joe here on Claves Online. Powered by Graybar, driven by Munganass St. Louis Acura. And Claves, you mentioned the MAC, another one of our sponsors here on Claves Online.
The Missouri Athletic Club does a lot of things community-wise as far as honoring athletes and people who make real contributions to our community. But it's also a fun place for people who want to be part of a club. They have everything you would want. They have banquet facilities. They have meeting facilities. They have an incredible menu, a great dining room area. And they have a lot of other events for kids as well. So it can be a true family event. And I know some people say, oh, wait a minute. You know, it's the Missouri Athletic Club. Yeah, it's been around for a long time, great tradition. But when you think about all the amenities that come with it, it's something you ought to probably take a look at. So what I would do is just go online, check them out online and see whether it works for you, because it works for a lot of other people in town, you might be next.
Claves, in NBA, NHL playoff news, the NBA playoffs saw the Suns get swept yesterday and knocked out of the playoffs by the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think I've said this before. The changing of the guard of the top of the West in the NBA, it just happened like that. I mean, it just how fast it seemed like all of these powerhouse mega teams, mega stars, and now they've dropped down to the 7, 8, 9 seed, not even making the playoffs in the Warriors' case. And you have all these new faces in the NBA, these new stars just kind of coming up now in the Timberwolves, who, you know, we were waiting for all these stars to come to be. The Oklahoma City Thunder, the 1 seed in the West, just all these teams that just, it seems like just overnight took over the old guard.
For the casual fan, you're warm. For somebody who's rabid about the NBA, you saw this coming. Sam Presti, who's a GM with the Oklahoma City Thunder, might be the best executive in sports. When you think about all the players that he's had come through there, and obviously Oklahoma City is a small market, but they've drafted extremely well. They've done an incredible job in Minnesota over the last few years, along with making some great trades as well. I don't know why anybody's surprised at Anthony Edwards. He was the first pick in the draft when it was his time. And I've known Bradley Beal since he was local. I've never seen Bradley Beal get worked over like Anthony Edwards worked over him and anybody else that got close to him. He's a big guy. He's about 6'4". He's about 225 pounds. He's stronger than Ox, but he can do everything. So those two teams don't really surprise me as much as some. And then there's Denver, who's drafted extremely well. Also, they took a flyer on Michael Porter Jr., and he's lived up to the expectation. Jamal Murray had the bad knee. They waited on him to get healthy. And what can you say about Joker that hasn't already been said? But I thought the difference for Denver, for them moving to the next level, was when they traded for Gordon. He was at Thumper down low. Exceptional athlete who's really made teams have to guard him as well. But he doesn't even need to run plays. He can just take the glass and by himself and get the putbacks. So those teams are really kind of, they've been coming and coming and coming. And the reason why there's such a big drop off, as you mentioned, where the Lakers and Golden State have fallen to that second tier, those teams didn't do anything to address it. And they had some very bad draft choices. The kid from Memphis that they took for Golden State, who's now with Detroit, Wiseman, he never lived up to the expectations. Right. They had some other people. The Lakers don't even know what a draft is like, okay? Because they trade all their picks for players who haven't lived up to the expectation. But overall,
stick with the Lakers for a second. Yeah. Just everything going on. I mean, Darvin Ham's gone after this year, right? Between it seems like what's going on with him and Anthony Davis, LeBron throwing the little tantrum on the sidelines, not challenging to play. There seem to be a lot of problems going on right now in that Lakers camp.
Yeah, but you know what? Is it Darvin Ham or is it the players Darvin Ham has been given? See, I think this is more of a Rob Pelinka issue, but nobody wants to acknowledge that. I think Rob Pelinka has done two things. One, he has become emotionally attached to certain situations and players being a former agent. He rolled the dice on some others that it didn't work out. He listened to Rich Paul too much about getting all his clients to play on the Lakers with LeBron. And it, I think it's been more. And then he's alienated a lot of people who were part of the organization, who are no longer part of the organization, who did know something about basketball. So I'm blaming this more on Rob Pelinka than I am Darvin Ham. It's easy to fire Darvin Ham. So my question to you is, who would you hire?
Right. Well, I mean, it seems like it's going to be a total makeover after this year, because LeBron most likely is gone, right? We haven't even talked about the fact that Bronny entered the draft. I mean, that was 3 weeks ago, and we never brought it up on this show, Claves. I didn't get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, but see, he put his name in a draft, okay? He can take it out, okay? And I think that there's some that are saying that he may take it out. And you know what? If LeBron wants to go, that's cool. He's done it. He's done all he can do there. He can't win in L.A. with the current situation, okay? They don't have enough good players. So if he wants to go, then let him go. If he wants to go play with his kid, I can promise you this, they're not going to win either. Right. You know, he's not going to be on – LeBron would never be on another championship team if they go in this direction. But I'm not sure about Bronny, because there are some that just say he's just a guy. You know, now LeBron's fortunate enough to play with his son. I get that. But I think I'd like to try and win one more time too, you know, especially as good as he is. I mean, LeBron's still a dominant player in this game. I mean, we take him for granted. But, you know, to fire Darvin Ham, I don't know. He was a first-time coach. You know, I just think that that's a job that people would say, yeah, it used to be a coveted job, but there's just too many other things over your head that you can't control. And I think if anybody learned that firsthand, it was Frank Vogel. And now Frank Vogel's in another situation with Arizona, with Phoenix, where it's a similar situation, you know, where the best players aren't producing. And I think guys have to be careful for what they wish for. You don't see the veteran coaches, you know, knocking that door down. You know, it's always a young guy who thinks he can reinvent the wheel, but he's got to understand the wheel's a little different than what he's been accustomed to.
Yeah, Eric Spoelstra, one of those guys, somehow already has picked up a win in the series against the Celtics. And
Eric Spoelstra is one of the three best coaches in the game, period. Yeah.
Where do you rank him all time?
He's in the conversation to be certainly in the top 10.
I was going to say, for what he's done roster after roster after roster that he gets down there in Miami, with the teams that they've put together and the runs that he's gone on with multiple teams.
Yeah.
Also taking over for a legend too. Also, I mean, the fact that he came in after Pat Riley and people looked at him like, who the hell is this kid? And he's been there ever since.
I'm gonna disagree with you on that. Everybody knew who Spo was because he came from a basketball family. His dad was one of the great basketball scouts and executives in the game. This is all he's ever known. He was a video coordinator. He wasn't a great player anywhere. He's a video coordinator, but he sat next to Pat, but he sat next to Riley all those years on the bench. So it was only fitting that he was going to be able to go in and do a good job. Now, that doesn't work all the time, but I think because of his background, his pedigree is one of the reasons why it worked. And you make a great point, man. He's coached a lot of different personalities and a lot of different looks. They could always guard. He knew how to manage players, and they compete. They're giving Boston as much as they can without Jimmy Butler. And I think that says a lot about their character as an organization and how they go out and get character players, not to mention people who can play.
What's been your favorite series so far to watch of these?
Oh, by far the Clippers and Dallas. That game yesterday was epic. I mean, it just had everything. I mean, Clippers had 31-point lead. Mm-hmm. It had to fight off Dallas at the end. Dallas came back and took the lead with about 2 minutes to go. Kyrie Irving has just been sensational. Paul George gave a yeoman-like effort. And both these teams have a lot of firepower, man. But, you know, it still comes down to guarding people. But overall, that by far is the most talented series that's going on right now.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be NHL time. Talk a little bit about that, those playoffs here on Lunch with Claves and Joe here on Claves Online. Stay with me, dance with me. We gon' be young and free. It's better when you move. You see, it's better when you dance with me. Don't be shy, come on. Move your feet, cause everything is better. That's the Cardinal Purse promotion this weekend.
It's one of the biggest promotions of the year.
They look good.
They always look good.
Yeah. The Cardinal giveaways, the stuff that the Cardinals will give away for promotional for the promotions on the weekends, it's stuff that you can wear out. It's stuff that you can wear.
Especially
you know,
those hats that we had last week.
And the Fredbird hats that you have. I mean, if the amount of people all around St. Louis that you see wearing those right now, I mean, 40,000 plus. I mean, that were there at the game that night, so they're wearing them all around. And the winter hats that you got the year before. I mean. Yeah, but no, they really do like those purses. That makes Mother's Day one of the big tickets out of the year because mom will say, "Yeah, hey, buy me tickets to the Cardinal game. I want to go to the game. I want to get that purse."
And Ricky Horton gives his wife that purse every year as a Mother's Day gift.
Does she know it's a promotion that he gets for free by this point?
I think the jig is up.
He tried to pull it off a few years, and he probably got away with it. Yeah, I'm sure. Hey, NHL playoffs, Klabes. I'll ask you the same question I ended with on the NBA side. Which series have you enjoyed the most?
Boy, you know, that's a good question. This Vancouver series has turned out to be a lot more fun. Vancouver and Nashville, that's been a little bit more fun than I think people thought. I love what Edmonton is doing. You know, this is the first time maybe we'll see some Canadian teams get out of the first round, although – Toronto's done. I think that's probably the bigger story in how Toronto's imploded once again when you look at the NHL playoffs. The West, as I told you, I'll tell you, Dallas. That's going to be, you know, watching Dallas play has been fun also. I don't think there's a bad series, although there are going to be a couple of teams that's going to be going home here fairly soon. But I think it's just kind of what you thought it would be. You know, Edmonton is really skating well. They won a 1-0 game last night, and that was a really good play, really good game. Dallas can skate with anybody as well. As I mentioned, Vancouver, you know, they get the overtime winner last night against Nashville. Nashville's probably done. But, you know, overall, I think the playoffs have gone according to plan. Now, the East has been a little different. I don't think anybody thought Washington Ovechkin wasn't going to have a point in a four-game series. Boston is Boston. The Rangers have certainly shown everybody that they're for real. The Carolina series is one we better keep an eye on because this Carolina team is a very well coached. They're deep lineup wise. So, you know, those series I think are going to be fun to watch.
Right now, Ovechkin is what, 41 goals away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's record?
Is it that many? I thought it was more than that.
Wayne Gretzky, 894 goals. Ovechkin ended the year career-wise 853 from what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm not a big fan of Ovechkin, and it has nothing to do with his hockey. I think that record of Gretzky's is one of the most sacred records in sports.
And that's what I was gonna. That's what I was gonna. I mean, the fact that he's out now, he doesn't have to skate anymore. You know, put any more minutes on his legs this season, and do
he
that.
He wasn't that good all year, though. I mean, you could tell there was a significant drop off in his game. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the other problem with that. You know, they were hurt a lot this year. You know, when they didn't have Tom Wilson playing early in the year, teams started to take runs at them and just really make life uncomfortable for them, and they never really recovered from that. So they've got some decisions to make about some players this offseason as well, because they were a little thin but when it was all said and done. They got to figure out a way to get that back.
Yeah. By the way, Klabes, you remember the defenseman Zdeno Chara?
One of the greatest players to ever play this game.
So do you know what he's doing now that he's retired?
Running marathons?
Not only running marathons, but running them in – incredible paces too.
Last week, you have to remember something, though. Let me tell you something. Chara was one of the best conditioned athletes we'll ever see, no matter what the sport was. So I'm not surprised by what he's doing. I mean,
but
this guy,
his
routine.
To play in the NHL for 24 years. He's 47 years old right now. And he ran the Boston Marathon. He just finished running the Boston Marathon, Klabes, in 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Like I said,
and then 6 days later ran the London Marathon in 3 hours and 11 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That's really, really impressive to do that after after putting all that time on your legs and on the skates and everything all those years too. And he's a big guy. He's
six foot eight.
Yeah. So you know he's putting
again. I'm gonna go back to my original point. This is a guy that was always the best conditioned player. That's why he played so long. So what you're telling me about his times, I'm not even remotely surprised by it. I really thought that one year when he was the Blues should have signed him and brought him in, but he maybe didn't want to be that far away from his family. But Zdeno Chara is one of the, when you talk about top 10 greatest players in National Hockey League, he's got to be in that conversation.
Yeah. Klabes, let's wrap it up talking a little NFL draft from this weekend. They were in Detroit where the Cardinals are tonight. Biggest head scratcher of the entire draft, Atlanta Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr. With a top 10 pick after signing Kirk Cousins to the deal that they did this offseason. Just to take a guy that high in the draft is kind of questionable.
Yes and no. You think you're safe because you have a quarterback, but we don't talk about the fact he's recovering from an injury. We don't talk about the fact he's going to be 36 this year. We don't talk about the fact that Penix Jr. is probably further along because he'll be 24 or 25 this year. So from an age standpoint, he's physically mature enough to handle it. The systems are similar as offensive wise. So if Cousins can't get it done, or if he goes down, the season may not be totally lost. And I think the best example I could use is when the Garoppolo thing didn't work out. And here's a guy named Brock Purdy who was taken in the seventh round, last guy to be taken. And the next thing you know, they're playing in the Super Bowl in a championship game. I think the teams have now said, look, we need insurance at the quarterback position because we saw so many also-rans that thought they were quarterbacks in the NFL that couldn't get it done. So if you're going to make an investment, and I know it's a roll of the dice, but I can understand why they did it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand why they did it.
I tried to follow it as much as possible. Not having a team here makes it so hard to really get invested in that. You're looking at the names that you remember from the college season. I just don't really care where a lot of those guys go now when it comes to the NFL.
Yeah, that's a logical way to look at it. I was in and out because there's so many other events that were going on that night. I think I was more overwhelmed by how many people just came outside to stand outside and watch the draft on a big screen.
But they say 600,000?
I've heard anywhere from 150 to 700,000. So who knows? That's a lot of people.
That's a big gap.
That's a lot of people no matter what, okay? And for them to come out for that event just says all you need to know about this game, the NFL, and how people are gravitating to it on a constant basis. And, you know, when you think about the Taylor Swift impact this year, which certainly enhanced everybody's interest level as far as the NFL was concerned, they're riding a big wave right now. And you know what? Here's the thing that's really interesting. They're riding a big wave, and now they want to add more games to a game that already decimates the athlete. I mean, you know, how can you add another game? And now they talked about moving this thing into President's Day weekend. Now they're going to get some pushback on that because that's been the NBA's weekend, All-Star weekend for forever.
18 games, only two preseason games is what they're looking at doing.
And two byes.
Yeah, and two buys and making it, moving it to a holiday weekend. So it's a Monday. Monday's a holiday, which kind of, I guess, satisfies all the people that want to move the Super Bowl to Saturday and then have Sunday off.
I think Super Bowl should always be on a Sunday. The game is evolved around being played on Sunday.
Right.
So I'm going to stay with that. Now, there's some talk about them playing. Well, they going to open up the season on a Friday night this year?
The Friday night in Brazil this year, yes.
And I think Christmas falls on a Wednesday. So I'm surprised we haven't scheduled a game for Tuesday morning.
You give it time.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, you know what? It's a machine unlike anything we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, when people complain about Roger Goodell, and there's a lot to complain about. You know what? They do just enough not to get in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And you tip your cap to them for it.
WrestleMania is also looking at moving theirs event to the end of April, early May, to not compete with the Final Four. So thought I'd bring that up since it's they kind of go hand in
hand. Well, I was concerned.
Yeah, and you know what? You gave me an opening to bring up wrestling, and I took it.
No,
so
I didn't. I really didn't. Nope. No, you stole that base on your own.
Catcher's indifference on that one. Hey, Claves, enjoy your few days off here as Ricky and John will be up in Detroit for those games on KMOX. I can't imagine. I would love to know the numbers that KMOX gets on those Friday night Apple TV games.
Yeah, when that's a good question.
That's that's the only way people can really follow it for the most part in a lot of cases. I would love to know that. But all three games this week in the Detroit series are on TV on Bally Sports Midwest. So you can listen to Chip and whoever is there with him, or you can listen to it on KMOX. And then, Claves, you will be back this weekend in the radio booth as the Cardinals welcome in the White Sox.
Yeah, Ricky and I think have the first two games, maybe the third. I'm not sure. John's off, so we'll see what happens. But White Sox might be a good test for the Cardinals. I know the record may not say so, but if they pull it together, they're still not going to be great, but it'll be interesting to see how things come together, especially after the sweep against Tampa this weekend.
All right. Until then, Claves, we have been brought to you by our friends at Gray Bar and driven by Munganass St. Louis Acura here on Claves Online. You've been watching Lunch with Claves and Joe. He's Mike Claiborne. I'm Joe Roderick. We'll see you next time.
Are you ready for a challenging and rewarding career? There are quality jobs in the construction industry.
I got out of college and my career choices were very limited, and this provided me with a plan for the present and the future at the same time.
I actually have a bachelor's degree in psychology, and I was making less than I make as a first-year apprentice painter.
I didn't go to college. I have no college debt. I make more money than the majority of people I know that went to college.
Take your first step towards a rewarding career. Visit stlouispdf.org.